If somebody is sick, it's important to ask the priest to come to visit. Some people, they have the wrong idea, and you invite a priest, they may get scared. They think, I'm dying, you know. But normally, people visit by a priest will more calm and peaceful afterward, after the visit. And also, keep in mind that anointing of the sick is not for the dying only. It's for people who are in danger of death because of old age, sickness, or injury. So as I say, some people, they are 75, and then every year, regularly, they receive anointing of the sick. So usually when people receive anointing, people, when they call the last rite. The last rite is usually include a few things. It's, if the person is capable, confession first, and then the anointing of the sick, and then Holy Communion. Because we are obliged to receive communion as baptized Catholic at least once a year at Easter time. We have to go to Mass every Sunday, but you are not obliged to receive communion. But we are obliged to receive at least once a year at Easter time. And also we are obliged to receive communion when we are in danger of death. So when we are in danger of death, then we should receive communion. So if we are able to, then we should receive communion. It's the communion that is for people who are dying is called viaticum. It's a food for the journey to heaven. Now when we, it's also good to pray for the people who are sick and the dying. So the prayer we say in the beginning, Divine Mercy Chaplet, is a powerful prayer for the dying. So Jesus has a wonderful promise, you know, for those who pray this prayer beside a dying person. So it's a prayer that is good to pray for the dying, it's good to recommend to people who are sick, a Divine Mercy prayer. And St. Faustina, you know, the one that Jesus revealed this prayer, a number of times she got the mystical experience of helping the dying with praying this chaplet. The dying person was, you know, under torment, you know, close to despair, going to hell. But because of this chaplet, able to have peace and die in the peace of God. So this is a powerful prayer for the dying. If somebody, in case of sudden or unexpected death, should a priest be called? In case of sudden or unexpected death, a priest should be called always. Because absolution and extreme unction, which is another name for anointing of the sick, can be given conditionally for some time after apparent death. If a parent is apparently dead and has not received the last sacrament, we should immediately call the priest. A person may continue to live 2 or 3 hours after death has apparently taken place, especially if it is sudden. In that case, extreme unction will avail his soul. So we don't know exactly when the soul actually separates from the body, because the definition of death is when the soul separates from the body. And so I think you heard story that people thought that somebody is dead, but the person get up and scare everybody, you know. So in that situation, the person never die because the soul have not separated from the body. So death occurs when the soul separate from the body. And so we don't know exactly when. When the body start to decay, you know, then it's quite sure it's separate from the body, because the soul is the animating principle of the body, and the different part of the body able to work as one is because the soul is there. When the soul is no longer there, then different part is falling apart. So decay is the most sure sign somebody really dead already. So now when we Catholic respect the body, because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit after our baptism. So when somebody die, then we should treat the body with respect. And normally the body should be buried in a proper place, in the cemetery. So we should not like cremate the body and then gather the ashes into the river, into the lake, you know, into the ocean. That's not quite proper. We should bury. Huh? So in the old days, you know, when you were young, cremation was not allowed in the old days. Nowadays it's allowed. Because in the old days, people do cremation with the intention to show their disbelief of the bodily resurrection. But nowadays, you know, people do that not for that reason. So that's why now it's allowed. But the proper thing to do is still the body buried in the ground. But cremation is something also allowed. So in the Catholic cemetery, any of you have been to the Catholic cemetery? Lots of you have been to the Catholic cemetery. You know, you can see in the Catholic cemetery, there's the ground burial. You have the columbarium, which is with the cremation ashes, you know, the body, cremated remain. It can be in the columbarium, it can be indoor, it can be outdoor columbarium, it can be on the ground as well, the cremated remains. And there's also the mausoleum, you know, the whole body into the wall, like Italian, like that, day of burial. So it's always good, you know, to pre-arrange. You know, you can always look at the different sites, you know, beautiful statue, you know, pick a area you like, you know, with your family, and then, you know, get your burial plot there. It's a good thing to do. In 2013, you know, in October, I got my burial plot there. And then when I do that, a number of people also did that with me. So actually, I'm surrounded by people that I know in that area. So I brought in a lot of business for that area. So I'm in the a new statue called the Perpetual Help, our little Perpetual Help. So there is the grand burial. So actually, around 20-ish people that I know is in that area, you know, all surrounding me, you know. So it's and then also the interesting thing is that the one, it's like a cross shape, the one before me, the one behind me, and then the one on my left, on my right, are all four people that I give confirmation, that I happen to give them the confirmation. It just happened that way. When we bought, the one behind me wasn't even confirmed by me, but and I did her confirmation, so it ended up that all a cross shape is all confirmed by me. And then Ross and Kimberly is be in the front two row, you know, the one before me and the one before is Kimberly, and then the one beside is Ross. So they are also in the area too. Kim and Ross also in the area.
Does a Catholic have to be buried in a Catholic cemetery or
no?
It can be Christian.
It can be on a regular, you know. And a frost lawn, or ocean wheel, or valley wheel, it's also okay. Yeah.
The Catholic sections.
Right.
They have a Catholic section too. But you know, the Catholic cemetery have a sense of peace, because it's a bit different. You know, my mother buried in Forest Lawn. My mother buried in Forest Lawn because, you know, my dad is in Vancouver. So she got cancer. So you know, she picked her plot a year before she died. Sometimes you know I would be when the weather get better I would do it again. I would be going there with a friend and we pray the rosary, walking around the cemetery there in Forest Lawn. And sometimes I go to Gethsemane do the same thing. But I feel Gethsemane is a bit more peaceful. It's because it's of course it's the whole place is Catholic. Right? The other one you feel a bit more commercial. You know, the other.
To be buried in Garden of Gethsemane.
Not necessary. If somebody have a Catholic spouse, then it can be also buried in Gethsemane. So let's say if you want to get a plot and then you are Catholic, your husband, you know, he can get a plot too beside you, no problem. Because it's because if you're a Catholic spouse or even Catholic relative, like your sister or brother, I think they will allow that. Yeah, so you can bring in two people too, you know. You can bring in a session to have all the joyous people, you know.
People.
Yeah.
We have ours by the street. It's not too peaceful. Ours is beside 32 Avenue. It's busy.
Noisy.
Yeah. Beside 32. Is that on the fence? Close to the fence?
It's the old priestess.
Huh?
Where the other priest section is right by the
office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you drive in, lots of the priests are in St. Joseph's section. Yeah.
Yeah, we have apartment style, bunk bed style.
You can have two levels. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, if you
in the ground, underground, or
underground.
The secular. I think you all know the secular cemetery in Vancouver or Burnaby. The price go up really, really, really quickly. You know, some plot, you know, you can buy it like 16 years ago, you know, $2,000. Now it's worth more than $20,000, in Burnaby. And I know it's true, some Chinese people, they actually bought and sell them to get money. But it's true. Yeah, but it's because the price go up so fast. Yeah, they do it like a business. But you know, in Catholic one, usually the price pretty stable because it's not for money. It's a form of service. So it's also good that way, you know, because the Catholic one, they are not there to get your money. They are there to serve. They want people to have people to do a proper Catholic burial. So the price hasn't been much of a change for the Catholic cemetery. It's more stable.
Is it privately run by the diocese?
The diocese.
So let's say if you have a plot here and you move to Edmonton, the diocese will make arrangements to have
you
your
have to sell it,
the plot
it?
Move. No, they'll make arrangements for it as kind of an exchange.
Yeah.
I've never moved to Edmonton.
Yeah. So you got an idea. You know, that there's a Catholic cemetery available close to, you know, it's 32 Avenue in Surrey. Of course, there's also one in New Westminster, but that's the old one. That's the old cemetery. That's pretty full. Because it's a long history for that one. Before they opened this one here, everybody buried there. Like all the priests, all the, and then there's one by the Oblate, which is in Mission, is the Oblate priest, and then I think the earlier bishop in Vancouver diocese, because they are Oblate, their religious order, so they buried there. Because there used to be a residential school, St. Mary's School in Mission. So now it became a park, but the cemetery is the Catholic cemetery there. And then there's in Hope there's also another Catholic cemetery. So those are the few ones that are around. Yeah.
Of course, the Abbey has its own.
Yeah, the Abbey, the monks have their own. The Carmelite parents have their own. They have their own house now in also Agassiz area, the Carmelite. So I think they also parents have their own cemetery. Yeah. So that's some for your consideration. Cemetery.
The cremated remains must always be buried on sacred ground.
They should be buried, yeah. They should be buried in a cemetery.
You don't want them over your fireplace.
They should not be like in the fireplace. They should not be like in your backyard, you know. Because in your backyard, you know, it's not reliable, you know. The house will be sold, you know, in the future. So even though Bob likes his house so much, should not be in the backyard. You know.
I've got the cheapest coffin made out of cardboard and all set, ready to go. Just drop me in the bottom. So it's good enough for the Pope, it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in gardens, because they don't have the cremated remains in those cubicles?
They have that.
But you just said they have to be buried.
No, that's a kind of burial. That's a considered burial.
That's kind of a burial. Oh.
Yeah, that's considered. That's considered burial.
Also, it's got to be underground.
Yeah, that's supposed to be underground. Yeah, because that's
you don't
a,
have to be underground. You know.
Yeah, that's or you can use the word bury or entomb. You probably entomb. Yeah, they should be entomb. Yeah, and then also if somebody died, the funeral rite in the church, the body should be there. The body should be there. Remember, the highlight of the funeral rite is to show respect to the body. you know, by incense and holy water. So the body in the coffin should be present in the church. So unless for really a special circumstance, the body should not be cremated first. It should be in the church, have the proper burial rite, the funeral mass, and then after that, it's go for burial or cremation. Sometimes it can be some really special circumstance. Somebody died while traveling in another place. That happened a couple months ago. Somebody traveled and then died of a heart attack. So the only way they can bring the body back in an economic way is like cremation, and then bring the ashes back. So they did that. So that's why we do the funeral mass with the approval of the church authority, a funeral rite in the Garden of Gethsemane with the cremated remain there. So that can happen sometimes in some special circumstance, but normally should be the body there, and then the burial rite, and then have the burial. And then there's the optional rite is the a prayer beforehand. Some people, they may not want to do a prayer the night before the burial. And the prayer can be like a ritual prayer, some reading, you know, some preaching, and then later the prayer of the faithful, the Our Father, simple ritual. Some will add maybe the rosary as well. Some might do an evening prayer for the dead. Different option. It's quite flexible for the vigil. And then if people do the viewing of the body, they usually do that at the end after the vigil. They usually do that the night before when they want to view the body. Normally, then on the actual day of the funeral, they don't view the body. It's only at the vigil. But that usually the family decision, because the viewing is not part of the church liturgy. It's only the prayer part is. The viewing is more of the family decision to have that or not. And then the funeral itself is usually the mass, and then have the sewing turn up with that farewell to the body, incense, holy water, and a prayer of commendation and trust the soul to God. Sometimes it might happen. The funeral rite might be outside of mass. You know, if a majority of the people are not Catholic at all, only the deceased is a Catholic, they might also have a funeral but not a mass. And so in that situation, it's just like a wedding outside mass. You know, I think some of you do have been to a wedding outside the Catholic mass. You know, that is you do the reading, you do the preaching, and then you do the prayer, and then you have so the sign of farewell to the body and a commendation. Sometimes you can so easily mess up as a priest, you know, it's not a wedding or a funeral. You know, I remember one time I was about to do one of the rites, and then I picked the wrong book, you know. And then I heard a story of a priest actually at the beginning of the ceremony, he said the wrong, completely right, the different type of ceremony, you know. He thought he was at the different kind of ceremonies, you know. Sometimes you can be so easy to mess up the two. You know,
I thought, and I'm probably not using that word, but I thought that there was also a thing where the priests would pray for them for a number of days continuously.
I think that's more of a Filipino. It depends on the culture. Like the Filipino, a lot of time when people die, they immediately do the 9-day novena. The family will gather at the home of the deceased to pray for 9 days, and usually it's being the rosary, litany for the dead, and prayer like that. So for 9 days, that's in Filipino. A lot of time people might pray for them the day of their death, and then the 7th day, and then the 30th day, it'd be something like that. So there's different custom. One week and then 30 day, and then of course every year the anniversary of death.
Are eulogies necessary?
Eulogy is not necessary, you know. Eulogy sometimes is a distraction, you know. It's supposed to be praying for the person, and the people almost like a canonization for the person, you know, saying how good the person is, how good, you know. And it's almost like a canonization, you know. And the person is still burning in purgatory, and then within our prayer, and then you're so, like, the person is already in heaven. So I'm not a fan of the eulogy. Usually. If they give it like at the reception, would be a better place to give. Sometimes they might do it before the mass, or sometimes they might do it. Some people they say before mass would be a better time Because when they do something, when they go do some, say something that is not so appropriate, you can save the day by saying something appropriate when you preach, you know, because you preach after they give the eulogy. So in some diocese, I think the bishop is getting so fed up with the eulogy, he just basically ban eulogy at all the churches. I think one diocese, maybe in Canada, I forgot which one, but you know, the bishop basically not allow eulogy at all at funeral.
We had gone to a Protestant eulogy not too long ago, a service, a eulogy or something, where this person had passed away and is already walking with Mother Teresa in heaven.
Walking with Mother Teresa.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
It was, whoa. Quite a eulogy.
It's almost like a canonization.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. I think people, we have to be realistic, you know, that when we are on earth, we are in a time of mercy. And of course, when we die, we do have to face judgment. A lot of people die as good, hopefully as good Christian, good Catholic, but not as saint. They are not saints yet. So when we are not saints yet, then what do you do? You know, heaven is only for the perfect. So we have to become saints in purgatory to be purified, and then become saints, and then we go to heaven. So purgatory is pretty. Most of the people who are saved have to go through purgatory, and sometimes it can be for years before going to heaven. But when the soul in purgatory, the soul is happy because the soul knowing for sure it's going to heaven, it's happy, but it's still suffering there. And his suffering is greater than the suffering on earth. And so they appreciate our prayer more than our praise, the souls in purgatory. You know, our praise for them doesn't mean anything for them in purgatory. They long for God, not for our praise. And so we help them much more by praying for them. Now when coming to for the dead, you know, in the good old days, you know, when you were young, you remember that all the Westmen, it's black, right? It's the priest dressed in black vestment. The pall is black. You know, everything black. I think I saw you the secretary, the sacristy. I have black too. You know, black is a dignified vestment. And oftentimes the black is also should have some white or gold or silver to also signify, even though we are mourning, we are sad, but it's not without hope. You know, we have the hope of eternal life, of resurrection. So that's why it's always the black vestment always go with some decoration of white, gold, or silver. But also, in some places, like in Italy, I think in Italy, in Hong Kong, in the Philippines, even here, lots of time funeral also will use the purple color. The purple vestment is for Advent and Lent, right? So it's a penitential color. It's a color like Advent of hope. So purple is also a common color for funeral. And then also white is also allowed. And usually when you use white, you don't use the white that is like a really, really like a for feast day, you know, it's a white that's more plain. Because it's, especially when the funeral for children is usually white, because children, when they are baptized, you know, they're going to heaven. If they're baptized, but they are not grade two yet, you know, they are like baby die. Usually when a baby die, you use white. Because if they're baptized, you know they're going to heaven. So the white is a symbol of the joy that you know they're in heaven. But usually you don't dress a fancy white, but it's a more plain white. So I usually like to use a more plain Marian white, you know, with a blue decoration, for Our Lady, but more plain, more simple. I usually use that one for funeral when I have to use white. Yeah. So the three colors are all allowed for funeral or for mass for the dead. And after funeral, usually there's with this cremation, then usually the cremation, the priest doesn't need to be there. For burial. Burial rite can be done by a priest or deacon. Even a lay person can do the burial rite. So burial rite is really simple. You know, it's to pray over the grave, ask the Lord to bless the grave, you know, have some prayer, and then the Our Father. And then also, of course, somehow entrust the body to God. And then for cremation, it's even more simple. Some prayer, you know, prayer for putting the ashes into the to entomb, and then the Our Father, and then the final prayer.
So you don't have to be there.
A lay person can do it. Often they like priests to be around, you know. But in a circumstance there's no priest available, even a lay person can lead those prayer. And then now in the Catholic cemetery there's a deacon there. So a deacon is also proper to lead those prayer of burial. Yeah. But usually when the priest do a funeral mass, if the burial site is not too far off, usually the priest will just go and do the burial on the same day. Yeah. Makes sense? So it's important that, you know, that you do have some plan of that kind, you know, so that people will know what to do, you know, if you when you pass on, when you pass away, and so that you know what to do for you. And oftentimes I think it's good that you also have your executor, you know, who will know what you want, so that you know how to carry out your wish in those areas. Okay, we'll stop here for the recording.